Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I found rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. I start the day the war begins, endless reminding of my sin. Time and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I found rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me. Jesus, you know just how far the east is from the west. I don't have to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I found rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. One scarred hand to the other. From one scarred hand to the other.
Okay, kids' church, kids. We have a lot of people away this Sunday. It's the last Sunday as the end of the summer vacation, I guess, before school starts. And aren't you excited school starts?
I am. I'm tired.
Yeah. Did the gap goes get Valerie all settled? Salisbury? Yep. She's in Salisbury. Okay. This morning we're going to go to gym. God's gym and work out. So our scripture reading is found in the book of Ephesians, and Dave Everett's going to come and read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. David's going to come and read for us.
Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Thus it ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you, David. Bodybuilding. Bodybuilding. What does that phrase stir up in your mind? It's a cultural phenomenon and something that's gone on for a number of years around the world. We have everything from Gold's Gym to your own gym with all kind of state-of-the-art equipment, exercise equipment, even your own personal trainer you can get in videos and so forth. There are specialty items for bodybuilding, items to build up your biceps and your legs and your back and your abs and all those kinds of things. All, of course, those things take money, a whole lot of effort, time, energy, and work. Time, energy, and work. And today I want to focus on bodybuilding in the church. It's a very important spiritual subject, very important for each one of us. Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, using this metaphor of going to the gym, is God's gym for church bodybuilding. A reminder that the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is not a building. I've said that many, many times over the years. There's nothing in the Bible to hint that this building is the church. The church is the people of God. They are the followers of Jesus Christ, His holy body on earth. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, but His body on earth today is the church. I remind you, those very popular, famous, powerful words of Jesus, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. I know a lot of people think that verse is primarily about a defensive mode. They kind of slip into a holy huddle and build a fortress around them. But it really is a very offensive concept where the church takes steps to go against the evil one. But in order to do that, the church, the body of Christ, needs to be healthy and it needs to be built up. It's a very exciting truth that we have from Jesus, that he will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That is very powerful. That's very dynamic. That we who are followers of Jesus are part of a body that's going to invade Satan's turf, so to speak. But we better make sure that the body is being built up. And that's a focus this morning. There is a false theology, a false teaching that we just sit back and the Holy Spirit's going to come along and he's going to zap us and everything is going to be fine. I want to jump into this by using a little bit of an example. I never saw this movie all the way through, so when I mention it, I haven't seen it all, but I know what it's about. How many of you saw the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Schwarzenegger? What's his name? Arnold? Some of you know what that movie's about. They were twins! Danny, like 4'10". Arnie, Mr. Universe, you know, bodybuilder. Yeah, the movie was funny, the little parts of it that I saw. There's no way Danny DeVito is going to do what Arnold Schwarzenegger could do, you know, body-wise. So as with human bodybuilding, and I share those two guys so that you kind of look at two different types of body builds, of whether you're a Danny DeVito, you're an Arnie, an Arnold, when it comes to be part of the church. Are we a Danny DeVito church? Are we an Arnold church? Bodybuilding. As with human bodybuilding, we have a responsibility, and the church must enter God's gym to apply his ingredients, his exercise program, if you please, and the results will be a very effective, powerful, dynamic church. Look at some of the things that Paul writes here. And again, this is all introduction into getting into the kind of bodybuilding that God wants us to do. Look at the results for this Ephesians 4 church that follows God's exercise program. They'll reach unity. They'll have unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. They'll all become mature until they all reach the fullness of Christ. Man, I love that phrase. Till we all reach the fullness of Christ. No longer infants. No longer tossed back and forth by every kind of teaching. No longer being deceived. But speaking the truth in love. Growing up in Christ. All working together. All results of exercise in God's gym, God's bodybuilding program. So we're going to look at this passage in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. I believe it contains some fantastic ingredients. Let's go with exercise. Are you ready to exercise? Let's stand up and do about 100 jumping jacks. No, don't do that. Or hit the floor and do about 30 push-ups. Think you're ready for that? No, not that kind of exercise, but the exercise that God wants us to do. I believe there are about three exercises here that we need to take. And again, I want you to picture Danny DeVito and Arnold. We could sit back and we can pray and we can fast and we could read our Bibles till we're blue in the face and never become the kind of body that God wants us to become. And you imagine Danny DeVito, all he does is he watches videos about bodybuilding. He reads good books. He gets a personal trainer but does nothing. Now you jump ahead in their careers in Hollywood and here you got Danny DeVito playing, sorry, Danny, these stupid kind of parts. Well, he did play Penguin in Batman, right? And Arnold played Conan the Barbarian. I mean, which body would you want to have, Penguin or Conan?
Are we a Danny DeVito body as a church? Are we an Arnold body? See, Danny could have kept reading all the magazines and all the stuff, you know, and all the videos and talking to his personal trainer, ate the right stuff. It would have done him no good. But Arnold paid the price. And of course, he became Mr. Universe. Three exercises from God's gym in God's bodybuilding program for the church to be the kind of church that he wants it to be. Here's number one. Develop our personal and corporate relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Develop our personal and corporate relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16 begins, from Him. This is all about coming from Jesus. Everything that we have comes from Jesus. Everything. Probably the two most important words in this passage. Everything we have comes from Jesus. From Him. And using the analogy of building up our bodies physically, this becomes our spiritual diet. Or what do we eat? What do we take in? The food, the nutrients, the vitamins, etc. What do we take in? It's very simple using this metaphor. We must fill up on Jesus. And that's not meant to be a nice little cliche or a nice little Sunday sermon kind of phrase. But it's very true. It's very factual. We must fill up on Jesus. Our spiritual diet must come from our relationship to Him. Physically, you will never be the bodybuilder that God wants you to be if you just sit around eating junk food. And we understand that, right? It's a very serious matter for a serious bodybuilder to eat the right things, to take in the right stuff. Jesus Christ is our source of spiritual food. I can't say that emphatically enough. He is the bread of life. He is the manna, the supernatural manna that's come down from heaven, and we must partake of Him. Let Him become our diet. He must be very central to our life as a church and our life as individual Christians. He must be central to our worship. He must be central to all of our doctrines and all of our beliefs and all of our teaching and all of our ministries. Jesus Christ must be central to all of that. We're so glad at the Christian and Missionary Alliance Council that Connie and I attended in May in California, that John Stumbo, the president, underscored as a motto, as a phrase, as a vision statement, as a declaration, if you please, that the Christian and Missionary Alliance would be a Christ-centered Acts 1 church. Christ-centered. This is where all the cults go astray. They may have their programs, they may have their teaching, they may have their doctrine, but Jesus Christ is missed. He's kind of kicked off somewhere. He's a prophet, he's a nice guy, he is a God, he's something, but Jesus Christ is not central. Our church, Edinburgh Road Chapel, will only be as dynamic and built up as our commitment is and our development of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Ponder that. I get amazed sometimes at people that grumble and complain about the, for a lack of better words, the stupidest stuff. And it comes back to, what is your relationship to Jesus? Is He central to everything? Our church, Edinburgh Road Chapel, will be only as dynamic and built up as is our commitment to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine your spiritual diet. Examine the books that you read, the CDs and the tapes that you take in, all those Christian radio programs and maybe TV programs. Is Jesus Christ central? Is He the main course? Or is there simply a lot of junk that might taste good, that might feel good, that might tickle your ears good, And it might be sweet delicacies, and it sounds so nice, and wow, that's good spiritual stuff. But Jesus Christ has got to be the main course. And if he's not, we're not having the right spiritual diet. The second exercise, that's the first exercise, is that we develop our relationship to him. Second exercise is to deepen our love relationship to others. That we would be intentional about deepening our love relationship to others. Verse 16 says, speaking about the body of Christ here, builds itself up in love. Builds itself up in love. I mean, let that really penetrate your thinking. Builds itself up in love. And of course, the word for love here is agape. That Greek word agape, meaning divine, self-sacrificing love, that love for others. Using the analogy of physical bodybuilding, I would liken this to our healthy environment of where we are exercising and how we are building our bodies up. Would you join a fitness club where you had to enter a room that was filled with nothing but parasites and germs and disease? Would you say, yeah, that's my fitness club. That's where I want to go and exercise. I dare say we wouldn't do that. Healthy environment, or the culture in which we function as the church, is important for bodybuilding. And God's gym requires the environment of love. Agape, self-sacrificing love. And again, I get appalled. I sit back in wonder of how Christians can violate that and miss that. That environment is so important. That environment of agape, self-sacrificing love within the body of Christ. And none of us would dare want to live in our homes that is infested with roaches and germs and disease and all kind of parasite stuff. We would clean it out. But yet when it comes to the body of Christ, we let parasites creep in, and we let these parasite diseases of self-seeking things instead of self-sacrificing things. See, love is concerned with others. Self is consumed with me, myself, and I and my own little world. Self is a sign of immaturity. It's that I want to sit back in a hot tub and soak, or I want to play with my rubber ducky, and that's what Christianity and church is all about. Love is a sign of maturity in the body of Christ. Love is that healthy environment. In 2001, Edinburgh Road Chapel went through the second meltdown in my history here. And I've shared some of the things about this over the years, and that's where we had people literally upset over pews and a playground and some other nonsensical stuff that should have never been an issue. In 2001, those of you that were here then, remember that the church gave me a pastor appreciation gift. And it was one that I'll never forget. And it actually made the Alliance Life magazine. Bob Pawson wrote an article, and there's copies of it out there. And the church gave me the gift of 14 laps in a NASCAR stock car around Dover Downs. Man, that was awesome, boy. Top speed, 120, and of course I did it. But here's the part I want to tell you about in the context of a healthy environment and a church building itself up in love. Someone, and I never found out who, And it's probably good that I never found out. And I tried. And I asked people at ERC that knew computers and stuff. I was getting these messages, these computer messages from people, emails. And one of them on numerous occasions said this: I hope you choke on every lap that you go around Dover Downs. About the same time, I was up one morning early and I looked out our window at our house and I saw a car pull in the church parking lot. And I knew who it was. And they came into the building and then left. And no one was in the building then, so I come over my normal time. I come over between 8 and 8:30 or so. And I looked and nothing seemed to be amiss, except I noticed on the chair of the secretary, where Diane sits, Jen Thaxton was the secretary then, and the chair was pushed under the table, the desk, was a brown folder envelope. And it was to ERC, and I took it out and opened it and read it. And again, keep in mind, this is all about pews and chairs. Oh, and our youth pastor, he had dyed his hair blonde and his wife got a little nose piercing. And those of you who are here, you remember that. But that envelope contained a letter to me saying that all the problems at ERC came from me and that I was the cesspool of all the problems. And I'm being mild in the language. I'm sharing that to say to you that both individuals, and I think they were two different people, never had the spiritual guts to ever come and talk to me face to face. We're talking about a body of Christ building itself up in love. In love. That's the environment. That's the environment where exercise can take place and the church becomes healthy. Self-seeking is the parasite that destroys and can devour the body of Christ. Do you love others? Do you love me? Don't answer that. Yeah. See, I would have asked that question over the years, and I did ask that question at different times over the years. And of course, there would be this general rumble through the congregation. Yeah, Pastor, we love you. But obviously, there was people that didn't, right? I mean, who would want me to choke on every lap around Dover? I didn't. Had a great time. Do you love me? I'm not saying you have to love everything that I do and agree with everything that I say. But I love you. Most of you. No, all of you. All of you. There's some things you do that just drive me bananas. I'm telling you, I go home and I go, gone. I mean, oh, what are they doing? But I still love you. I still love you. We better jump to number three here. The third exercise. This is exercise now. This is going to the weight room. This is going to the gym. God's gym. Devote our commitment to church ministry. This is all bodybuilding for becoming the dynamic, healthy, powerful church that God wants the body of Christ to be. Devote our commitment to church ministry. Verse 16 says, as each part does its work, as each part does its work, as you do your work in the body of Christ. Bodybuilding takes work. Now, let's see. First, Patty Antonucci. Some of you know Patty's daughter, Debbie. Debbie won Miss New Jersey Bodybuilder, right? Was that the title? Something like that. Way back. Now, Debbie's probably sort of their own 30, yeah, something. But back when she was younger, she put in the exercise. She committed. And as a young lady, she had the body and she won New Jersey competition. Arnold obviously paid the price. He was willing to do the work to get his body to be the way it is. He had to work out. He had to work. Work here in the original context of Ephesians is there. But it's used in the context of ministry within the body of Christ. And verse 16 is clear, very clear, that in order to have a dynamic, healthy body as the church, everyone that's part of that body, a follower of Jesus, must use their bodies in ministry. I want you to underscore a couple important truths here. And the first one is this: as each part does its work, as each part does its work. You're talking about individual members within the body of Christ, individual people that are part of a local congregation or the church universal, if you please. If you are born again and you've made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a work or ministry in the body of Christ, in His church. You do. Don't go, man, I wish Joe was here this morning to hear this. I wish Joe was here this morning too to hear it, but it's for us. You have a work, a ministry within the body of Christ. This all comes under the umbrella of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where the early part of Ephesians 4 talks about Jesus ascending to the Father, where He gives gifts to those in the body of Christ. Supernatural gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, not toys, but tools to build up the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about going to church for an hour on Sunday. I'm not talking about simply going to a Bible study or sitting back in a hot tub. You know, well, I'm just soaking. I don't like hot tubs. How many of you have ever been in a hot tub? More than an hour? You know what happens? You start shriveling up. But the worst part is you get so tired you don't want to do anything. And there's some hot tub Christianity things that just sit back and soak. Man, just soak, you know, man, cool. I'm shriveling up, but I don't feel like doing anything. That's not God's gym. God's gym is where He's given us gifts of the Spirit, supernatural abilities to do ministry. If I could put my finger on one major problem, and this is from my years of being a pastor, of focuses on self in the church, it would come down to a combination of spiritual gluttony, feed me, couch potato, I'm going to sit back and watch everybody else do it, or cocooning. I don't want to be part of you. Just I want to get to heaven. I want my eternal life insurance policy paid up, but that's all I want. Those become the manifestations of self. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is a time for new Christians, brand new Christians, where they need to spend hours and days and weeks and a few years in nothing but learning and eating and growing and maturing. But a mature, healthy Christian must begin to exercise their faith and use the ministry tools, gifts of the Spirit that God has given them. I'm still waiting for the day, and don't get me wrong, a few of you have done this to a degree, but I'm waiting for the day where somebody walks in and says, Pastor, I'm here to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. These are my tools. These are my gifts of the Holy Spirit. When Connie and I retire someday, and we will, we're going to have to. I'm going to retire from full-time pastoral ministry wherever we live, and it's probably going to be near Ocean City, Maryland, Lord willing. I'm going to walk into the local church where we choose to. That's where we're going to make our home church. I'm going to walk in and talk to the senior pastor or the elder board or whoever's in charge. And I'm going to say, here I am. Here I am. I have a gift of pastor teaching. I have a gift of leadership and other ministries. Use me any way you want. And I'm waiting for the day somebody knocks on my door and says, these are my gifts. I want to use them for the glory of God. Now, don't misunderstand that. Many of you are using your gifts of the Spirit, and I praise God for that. And I'm still waiting for that day where somebody just says, use me any way you want to. Examine your life. Have you slipped into spiritual gluttony? Have you slipped into being a couch potato Christian? Or are you just sitting back in a hot tub of Christianity saying, I'm going to enjoy it all the way to heaven, and that's it? Exercise the gifts that God has given you. Let me summarize and we'll conclude. Bodybuilding. Three essential exercises. Develop your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Deepen your love relationship to others. And devote your commitment to ministry in the body of Christ. Let's go to God's gym. Let's go to God's gym. I don't want us to be couch potato Christians. The gates of hell will not prevail against us when we stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's don't be a Danny DeVito. Let's be an Arnold. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Father, for the church you have blessed. I thank you for Edinburgh Road Chapel. I thank you for everyone that is active in using the gifts that you've given him. And now as we leave this building, Father, let us go in the power and anointing of your Spirit as we breathe in your presence, the conscious awareness of your presence. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.